Thank you, praise team. We really appreciate it. And we are so blessed to have our senior pastor playing music for us. It's a big blessing. I know in Japan it might sound usual, but in my country, you'll never see the senior pastor doing stuff for the praise team or something. Of course, it's a cultural difference, but I'm so blessed when I see the pastor playing the instrument for me. You know, it's such a big blessing. So we really appreciate the praise team. They take time to prepare to lead us in worship, and it's such a blessing. So welcome to church again. My name is Grace. I welcome you to Mitake Green Chapel International English Service today. Feel at home, feel at the feet of Jesus. We are one family. We are all from different countries, and the English service is just usually such a free space. There's so much liberty for us to just be ourselves and just feel free at the feet of Jesus, not anxious, not thinking you are breaking any rule. You know, it's such a blessing, you know. So thank you so much. So this is the time for testimonies and prayer requests. And so I want to invite you have a prayer request or you have a praise report. God has done something you want to share with us. This is the time for you. And just to mention, we have the bulletin. Maybe you have it or not, but you can take it because some prayers are already written here. And please always take it home with you. So Lopez-san, Hiroshi-sensei doesn't have it. So I know many of us throw away these papers. You know, I'm one of them. I just pile them in my handbag and I don't do anything after Sunday, but the reason why they type them for us is because we can go home and continue to pray over this request. So I would just like to remind us what is written here as you prepare your testimony or your prayer requests. Of course, we're always praying for our pastors. We have three pastors in this church, Pastor Hiroshi, Pastor Kevin, and Pastor Chris, and they are such a blessing to us. We really appreciate them, and we cannot do anything for them. They do so much for us. The best we can do is to pray for them, for God's strength every day, the vision of God to manifest upon them, and just for them to have the wisdom of God to lead the church. And then maybe Christian say will update us, but we are praying for his aunt in Canada. And then Art and Darcy are in Oasa. They are our missionaries attached to this church. They are in Oasa. We are always praying for them. And then church planting, there is a new church that will come up for this church, and we are praying for that church that will maybe open in April in Miyajima. And then we are always praying for Micah. Micah is Tim's son. He has had challenges on his health and just wisdom for his future. We are praying for that also. Then we pray for our brothers growing in faith. We are all here, but some people are young in salvation. Some are just hearing the gospel, not yet believers. So we are always praying for people to grow in faith. Then we are praying specifically for Art. Art is having challenges, you know, like today they are not here because Art has been feeling unwell, and we really need to pray specifically for him, and not just Art. I know many of us who are having health challenges, we pray for people's health to be restored to them, and maybe other challenges also. It could be financial challenge, it could be relationship challenges, so many things people go through, difficult things, especially maybe those who are not Japanese, you're living in Japan and things get so tough for you, but we pray for each other, health-wise, emotional-wise, spiritual-wise, so that we are all strong in the Lord. And then we pray for Takahashi-san, who is a friend to Fernando. Maybe he will tell us more. And then we pray for world leaders. You know what's going on in the world. We just pray for wisdom and peace and the health of our leaders who are leading us. The Bible says we are under their authority, so we pray for them. They may not believe in God or know God, but we pray for the wisdom of God. Then we have our missionaries we support in Cambodia. Their name is Daryl and Kayo, and their son Benjamin. We are always praying for them. It's very challenging to be a missionary. You know, you've left your country and your people, and you're living among foreign people, new culture, difficulties financial-wise, health-wise. We pray for them. And then we are praying for these countries because of the disasters that are happening there or happened recently. Australia, you know about the fire. What happened in the Philippines? Maybe I forgot. Eruption. And then we know the coronavirus in China, and it has already reached the borders of Japan. So we're just praying that God will protect us and his people so that this doesn't become a disaster in the world, because It has caused so many cancellations of flights. People can't travel. You know, one of my best friends, you know, she planned to go to Singapore for her vacation, and she already bought the tickets. Even before this coronavirus became big, 3 weeks ago, she told me, my husband says I should not travel because he heard of coronavirus. And said, now I have to cancel my trip and I have to pay a lot of money. You know, so many people are affected by this virus. So let's pray that God will take control, because only God can control this kind of disaster. And then we just pray for Mitaki. So I just read through these ones, and we are going to receive new ones today. So welcome. Please come and tell us your praise report or your prayer request, and or anything you want to share with us. You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. First and foremost, I would like to apologize. I've been very irresponsible lately. Yeah, last week, well, I supposed to be the one to moderate, but I don't really understand what's going on with my body. Suddenly, as I shared to some of you through Messenger, I suddenly had a back pain, and I cannot straighten up. And one of my fears was really my bad experience about 4 or 5 years ago about my health. So it was a scary time being alone at home, and then suddenly you cannot move. I was just trying to help myself. I actually tried to come, but to no avail, I couldn't. So I took rest, and I just want to say thank you for Takako. I was just so surprised. I don't know how God really moved you, because there is no more rice in my in my kitchen, and I don't have anything to cook anymore at that night, but I still have some food, a little food. And then suddenly, Takako came and gave me dinner. Yeah, I was just so happy, and I'm so happy to really have a family that I even did not say anything about it, but God just impressed on someone. So thank you very much for Takako, for listening to God. Yeah, I still went to work for the week. As I told Pastor Chris, I just have myself like I just being careful, and I'm trying to not carry heavy things, and really make myself walk like a snail. But good things are happening last week. I was also scheduled to have a demonstration lesson with my homeroom teacher. It was a scheduled lesson plan. A lot of teachers were coming from different schools. We were assigned to have a demonstration lesson. At that day, I was so weak. And I thought I will not have a voice. But praise God, I was able to really help the homeroom teacher perform very well. And one of the good news was the principal talked to me, and he said it was an amazing class. The people who went there was really happy, and they got a lot of new learnings from what we have shown. And it's a joy in my part, because the homeroom teacher was really stressed for a number of months already, how to really do the presentation in the class. But by God's grace, we were able to do it, and I was really very happy for her. The principal gave her a perfect evaluation, so she was so happy, and I'm also happy for her. Yeah, that was one of the best things that happened to me, even if I don't have very good health. And maybe one of the things that really made me, I would say, occupied so much. As we have family problems at home with my brother and my sister-in-law. So they have situation also. And with regards to our parents. I'm not going to give the details, but I just want to ask for your prayer, for your intervention also, for God's intervention for their lives. Because it's already affecting my parents. The situation between my brother and my sister-in-law is already affecting my parents. And if your parents are affected by situations at home, naturally you as a child, you'll also be affected. So I am also affected. And please continue to pray for them and also my mother. And thank you so much for how you have been so faithful in remembering me in your prayers. Please continue to pray for me. I'm still not very well, as in a well, but I'm coping up. I'm coping up. I'm happy to be here. And another irresponsibility that I have today is I forgot to make the bulletin. I supposed to make the bulletin. So my apologies again. So I don't know. It actually slipped out of my mind. And then I remember it this morning. I remember it this morning, and I don't have any more time to really do it. I said, Lord, please forgive me. another irresponsibility that I have for today. But I'm glad I'm here, and I'm glad Fernando and Jim is making things possible. And also, from last week, thank you very much. Jim had the moderator. He moderated last week. So thank you so much also for taking my place. So please assign me in another day. I hope I would be able to come by then. Yeah. What else? I have a good news, actually, about my master's. The school has already sent me an email to apply for graduation. Yeah. Hoping that I will be finishing already the course finally. Although I haven't seen yet the grades, the final grade from my professor for that research work that I had, but I'm hoping that she will give the grade, because the school registrar already made me apply for graduation, and I have already submitted it last week also. So please pray for that. I really want to finish the course. It's been a long time already. And I'm already, I would say, dragged to this. I wanted to give up, but I have a word from the Lord to just move on with this, go on with it. And because He has a promise and a purpose why He allowed me to be in this kind of study. So please continue to pray for that. The Lord will really give the enlightenment to my professor and finally give me the grade so that I will be included in the list of the graduating students. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
I'm really thankful for the little blessings that God gives that just keep me faithful. I'd been fighting a cold for several weeks, mostly just a sore throat. And 2 days before we were supposed to do a presentation to a group, it went up into my sinuses and sneezing, blowing my nose, all that stuff. And a guest left behind exactly 2 tablets of the medication that I am most love taking for a sinus issue. So I took 1 the day before, and I was able to time it an hour before we had to leave or arrive, and it lasts 4 hours. So at the end of the I made it clear through the end of the presentation. So that's what a blessing. It's a little thing, but it's those little things that add up. And then I also want to ask for prayers for my grandson, Joey. He's on the autism spectrum and has multiple sclerosis. And there's only one medication he can take, and my daughter just found out that it's $1,900 for a 28-day supply. So that's, what's that in yen, 190,000 yen for 28 days. So just prayers that he will be able to continue on his medication and that they'll have financial help. Thanks. That's medicine in America.
So before I read the prayer requests, anyone else maybe not mentioned, I'd like to read for you. I brought my phone today because I wanted to share with you one devotional. I will read through it. I'll try to be as simple as possible so that you can listen to my English because you're not reading there. The title was, The Winds and the Waves Obey Him, from a book called Jesus by Max Lucado. Maybe many of you already know him. I'll just read. So he says, do whatever it takes to keep your gaze on Jesus. My deepest prayer is that this devotion will lead you closer to him. Jesus and the disciples were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. A storm arose suddenly, and what placid became violent. Monstrous waves rose out of the sea and slapped the boat. Mark described it clearly. A furious swell came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Imagine yourself in that boat. It's a sturdy vessel, but no match for these 10-foot waves of the sea. It plunges nose first into the wall of water. The force of the waves dangerously tips the boat until the bow seems to be pointing straight at the sky. And just when you fear flipping over backward, the vessel pitches forward into the valley of another wave. A dozen sets of hands joins yours in clutching the mast. All your shipmates have wet hands and wide eyes. You tune your ear for a calming voice, but all you hear are screams and prayers. All of a sudden, it hits you. Someone is missing. Where is Jesus? He's not at the mast. He's not grabbing the edge. Where is he? Then you hear something, a noise, a displaced sound, like someone is snoring. You turn and look, and there curled in the stern of the boat is Jesus sleeping. You don't know whether to be amazed or angry, so you are both. How can he sleep a time like this? Or as the disciples ask, teacher, don't you care if we drown? If you are a parent of a teenager, you've been asked similar questions. The time you refused to mortgage your house so that your daughter could buy the latest style of tennis shoes, she asked, don't you care if I look out of debt? When you insisted that your son skip the weekend game and attend his grandparents' golden anniversary, he asked you, don't you care if I have a social life? When you limited the ear piercing to one hole per lobe for your daughter, and the accusation she says is, don't you care if I fit in the society? Do the parents care? Of course they do. It's just that they have a different perspective. What the teenager sees as a storm, mom and dad sees as a spring of shower. They've been around enough to know these things pass. So had Jesus. The very storm that made the disciples panic made him drowsy. What put fear in their eyes put him to sleep. The boat was a tomb to the followers, but a cradle to Jesus. How could he sleep through the storm? Simple, he was in charge of it. The same happens with you and televisions. Have you ever dozed off with your TV on? Of course you have. But put the same television in the grass hut of a primitive Amazonian Indian who has never seen one, and believe me, he won't sleep. How could anyone sleep in the presence of a talking box? As far as he knows, those little people behind that glass might climb up out of that box and come after me. There is no way he's going to sleep. And there is no way he's going to let you sleep either if you're with him. If you doze off, he will wake you up. Don't you care that we are about to be massacred? Rather than argue with him, what do? You just point the remote at the screen and turn it off. Jesus didn't even need a remote. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Incredible. He didn't chant a mantra or wave a wand. No angels were called. No help was needed. The raging water became a still sea instantly. Immediate calm. Not a ripple, not a drop, not a gust. In a moment, the sea went from a churning torrent to a peaceful pond. The reaction of the disciples, verse 41 of Mark chapter 4. They were in absolute awe, staggered. "Who is this anyway?" they asked. Wind and sea at his beck and call. They'd never met a man like this. The waves were his subjects and the winds were his servants. And that was just the beginning of what his seamates would witness later on. Before it was over, they will see the fish jumping into the boat, demons dive into pigs, cripples turn into dancers, and cadavers turn into living, breathing people. Is it any wonder the disciples were willing to die for Jesus? Never had they seen such power. Never had they seen such glory. It was like, well, like the whole universe was his kingdom. You wouldn't have needed to explain this verse to them. They knew what it meant. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Peter came to experience the miraculous power of Christ firsthand. In another storm, when the boat of the followers threatened to capsize, Jesus came walking on the water towards the disciples. Peter's response was, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter never would have made this request on a calm sea. Had Christ strolled across a lake that was as smooth as Mica, Peter would have applauded. But I doubt he would have stepped out of the boat. Storms prompt us to take unprecedented journeys. For a few historic steps and heart-chilling moments, Peter did the impossible. He defied every law of gravity and nature. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. My editors wouldn't have tolerated such brevity. They would have flooded the margin with red ink. Elaborate. How quickly did Peter exit the boat? What were the other disciples doing? What was the expression on his face? Did he step on any fish? Matthew had no time for such questions. He moves us quickly to the major message of the event, where to stare in a storm. But when Peter saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." A wall of water eclipsed his view. A wind gust snapped the mast with a crack and a slap. A flash of lightning illuminated the lake and the watery. Peter shifted his attention away from Jesus and towards the squall, and when he did, he sank like a brick in a pond. Give the storm waters more attention than the storm walker and get ready to do the same. Whether or not storms come, we cannot choose. But where we stare during a storm, that we can choose. I found a direct example of this truth while sitting in my cardiologist's office, almost through. My heart rate had the pace of a NASCAR race and the rhythm of a Morse code massage, so I went to a specialist. After reviewing my tests and asking me some questions, the doctor nodded knowingly and asked me to wait in his office. I didn't like being sent to the principal's office when I was a kid. I don't like being sent to the doctor's office as a patient. We all don't like. But I went in, took a seat, and quickly noticed the doctor's abandoned harvest of diplomas on the wall. They were everywhere and everywhere. One degree from another university, another degree from a residency, that degree from his wife. That was a joke. The more I looked at his accomplishments, the better I felt. I am in good hands. About that time I leaned back in the chair to relax. His nurse entered the room with a sheet of paper. "The doctor will be in here shortly," she explained. "In the meantime, he wants you to acquaint yourself with this information. It's a summary of your heart condition." I lowered my gaze from the diplomas on the wall to the summary on the paper. As I read, contrary winds began to blow. Unwelcome words like atrial fibrillation, arrhythmia, embolic stroke, and blood clot caused me to sink in my own sea of Galilee. What happened to my peace? I was feeling much better a moment ago. So I changed strategies. I counteracted prognosis with diplomas on the wall of the doctor. In between paragraphs of bad news, I looked on the wall for reminders of good news. That's what God wants us to do. His call to courage is not a call to naivety or ignorance. We aren't to be oblivious to the overwhelming challenges that life brings. We are to counterbalance them with long looks at God's accomplishments. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. So do whatever it takes to keep your gaze on Jesus.